courage. Courage is defined as the mental or moral strength to venture, to persevere, and to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Many of us understand the concept of courage. However, the reality of demonstrating courage is harder in everyday life, right? To break free of a habit which seems familiar can be difficult. To move forward from what you're used to takes perseverance. To embrace new ways of thinking takes mental and moral strength. To take steps where you've never stepped before can be fearful. Unless there's more to discover. If you knew that there was more to discover, then you would be more willing to break free, to move forward, to think in new ways, and to take purposeful steps. Too often, though, we look for practical, tangible indicators before we're willing to go first or willing to risk more. We, in our natural human nature, are drawn to that which we can see and experience first. But what if there was more for us to discover than that which we could see or experience at the outset? Wouldn't you want to know how that could happen? Wouldn't you want to know that there was something more to discover? Some of us, maybe many of us, are all a little bit weary of doing things the way we've been doing them. Anybody agree with that? Some of us are shaken by the division that exists in the world, in our local communities, and sometimes even within our own families or workplaces or classrooms. Some of us are saddened and shaken by the difficulties, by the loss, by the hardships of life. We don't actually see much that is tangible, practical, or worth experiencing any more of. So what do? We shrink back within ourselves. We default back to taking small, safe steps, familiar steps, doing what we have always done, doing what maybe our parents have done or those who preceded us have done, because the reality is we fear the unknown. Some of us would rather stay within the hardship we know than risk the experiencing of the blessing of God in what we have yet to discover. And if that is you, then this passage that we're looking at today is really, really important. When we meet Abram here in Genesis chapter 12, the world he knew was undergoing significant change. People once united by a common language and purpose were divided because of their selfishness and their misplaced desires for personal gain. More recently, Abram had faced the loss of his father, and at some point previous to that, one of his brothers. So in the midst of this dispersion, his father, Terah, moved their family with the intention of heading to Canaan. But instead, we read at the end of chapter 11 that they came to a place called Haran, and don't miss this, it says, they settled there. It may not seem like that big a deal, but that one word makes a huge, huge difference. Whatever happened to Terah caused him to stop where he was intending to go. This idea of settling isn't the notion of setting up a home and living. It's a stop. It's a posture of being reluctantly influenced, and to such a point that he was never able to complete that which he started. What's influencing you? What speaks into your life? Sometimes the idea of settling or being negatively influenced by hardship, failure, broken dreams, loss, or even generational shame can prevent us from discovering all that God desires for us to experience. It is in these moments that we can think that God leaves us or is hard to find that we need to realize he actually comes to us and offers us a new way, a different way, a way in which there is more to discover. But know this, it takes courage to discover the path of blessing. Blessing. to be blessed by God. Blessing is an interesting and really hard to define word. In its simplicity, it is a humble, grateful recognition of someone or something. It is most likely, in my opinion, most incorrectly defined as happiness. Happiness is subjective and is centered on me. Many of us pursue happiness or self-gratification, what makes us feel good. We chase happiness. We are enticed by happiness. Similarly and incorrectly, in my opinion, there are those who will tell you that blessing is equated with material gain, more money, more stuff, more comfort. And there may be times where that's a byproduct, but that is not the focus or the purpose of the blessing of God. God is greater than our subjective measurements, and he wants more than your happiness. He desires for you to be blessed. That is, God desires for you to discover pleasure in everything in the world that he has created that reflects the purity of his excellence. Blessing inspires gratitude as we recognize the activity of God in us and around us. Blessing provides the assurance of God's providential care and his abiding presence in fulfillment of his greater eternal purposes. So let's read again those first three verses. And if you have a copy of it in front of you, then great. Let me encourage you to read aloud with me. I'll be reading from the NIV, New International Version, and I think there's some words on the screen behind me. Ready? The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." It shouldn't be surprising then that when God speaks to Abram, this idea of blessing is mentioned no less than six different times. So let me encourage you to underline, highlight, or circle, or all three, those mentions of blessing. These verses are part of the foundation from which the rest of the biblical account comes to fulfillment, including the life of Jesus Christ and the promises that are had through him for our future. These are connected through Jesus for us all as humanity. Understanding this helps strengthen our courage to discover more through what I call the path of blessing. In a world that continually tempts us with subjective short-term pleasures, pursuing the path of blessing requires courage. It takes courage to listen when God speaks. It takes courage to understand that God wants to bless us. It takes courage to bless others. It takes courage to understand that we can be a blessing to others. And it takes courage to understand that God will protect us from those who don't bless. Listen to God. Listen when God speaks. Notice in verse 1, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram." Now, we can easily move past those words just like it's random dialogue in your favorite novel, but we shouldn't do that. This is God who is speaking, and therefore we ought to pay attention when he speaks. In fact, if you go right back not too far to the beginning of the book, we first read of God speaking when we are reminded of something, that when God speaks, he speaks life. The world was created through the spoken words of God. And it is in the middle of that creative work, after living creatures of the water and the sky were made, that we first read the word blessing. God values all creative life, and he affirms his presence and pleasure in the goodness of it all. But more than that, after God would create land animals and then ultimately human life, we read these words again. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." God was delighted in the created world, which now included human life. And his desire was that in that blessing, many others would also participate. Many of us will also know that in creating human life, that is man and woman, God speaks words of compassion for understanding the significance of compatibility and partnership, and that the extension of those things to be a blessing to others through their relationship. But even more than that, even after Adam and Eve disobeyed and dishonored his words of instruction, God speaks words of restoration, giving the blessing of the promise of Jesus in the midst of the consequences and curses that resulted from their disobedience and sin. Life, compassion, and restoration. There's a lot that happens when God speaks, which means we need to pay attention. And so when God comes to Abram and speaks, Abram does pay attention, even though God is asking him to leave what he has known, even people he is used to, even surroundings that have become normal. And none of that is easy. It requires courage to pursue the path of blessing. So notice, secondly, that God wants to bless us. This is a reassurance of the original design. God wants to bless Abram, and he wants to bless us. His desire through Abram would be that many peoples would be the legacy of Abram's faithfulness to go down this road of blessing. There was more to discover than Abram could see that day. How would your day change if you woke up reminding yourself that God wants to bless you? How would your day change if you thought to yourself right now, God wants to bless me? How would that change your perspective, your motivation, your demeanor as you go through the day? That God wants to lead you in a way that helps others, even others you don't even know yet. God wants to bless me. Do you want to say that? Go ahead, say that. God wants to bless me. That's hard sometimes for even you to believe those words that just came out of your lips, doesn't it? Next on the path of blessing is recognizing that God wants you to be a blessing to others. The way in which you conduct yourself, the way in which you help others to know, the way in which you do that helps others know whether or not they are valued by God. And if, as we've already been reminded, that God blessed the creation of human life, anything less than blessing in our treatment of others should not be acceptable or tolerated. In a very real and practical sense, it's one of the reasons why there is blessing or the pleasure of God available to you as you honor your parents. It's one of the reasons why there is blessing or the assurance of God's provision as you find regular rhythms of rest from your work. It's one of the reasons why there is affirmation of God's resourcefulness given to you when you give back to God a portion of that which has been entrusted to you in tithes and offerings. These are significant ways that we can travel the path of blessing. And as you do, God opens up new opportunities and people for you to impact, often without you even knowing it. When Jesus opens up the Sermon on the Mount, he starts with an invitation to blessing. When we read of many of the letters in the New Testament, they often begin and they end with blessing. The presence of the power of God through our growing obedience to his word puts us on the path of blessing and should positively impact those around us. Often we place ourselves in the center and we say we won't bless others unless they do something for us first. So we begin to judge the actions of others instead of reflecting gratitude back to God for his presence through even the small acts of kindness or correction that he sends our way. What is amazing is that when you start to reorient your thinking, or you recalibrate your words and truly understand this, then other people will in turn, you'll see them as a blessing to you. That is, they will be used of God to remind you that God is present with you, that they will bring you assurance in different times and in different ways. Do you want to be blessed by others? Who doesn't, right? Notice, fourthly, that it's possible that even in our attempts to be a positive, godly influence on others, it will not be received as such. In fact, there are those who may even be offended and react in an opposing manner. Curse is how God describes it to Abram. In those times, essentially, the reminder is from God, I got you. You stay on the path of blessing. I'll take care of the rest. God's promise is that he will weigh the motivation of those who we think might be opposing us, and he will deal with them accordingly. Those are words that ring true throughout the biblical record. We exist to bless, to bring blessing, and to impact others through blessing, helping them to recognize the presence of God and his purposes in their lives. It is a mark of faith to focus on blessing and to trust God to deal with any opposition to it. The path of blessing allows us to share the goodness and grace of God freely and to invite others to do the same. In fact, in Paul's writing to the Galatians, he confirms this to be true. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, he writes, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify those of different ethnicities and races, and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham, saying, 'All nations will be blessed through you.' So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Further, in verse 14 of Galatians 3, we read these words, "Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to people of different ethnicities and races through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." What was Abram's response to this? His example is really important for us, right? His response is considered faithful by God, as we've just read, and therefore significant for us to understand. We can catch a glimpse of it back in our original passage here in Genesis chapter 12 and reading through verses 4 to 9. But just let me summarize a few different things. Firstly, Abraham obeyed. When God said go, we read that Abraham went, just as the Lord had told him to, which means he was keeping in the path of blessing. Secondly, Abraham demonstrated humble gratitude. And you can read that as you see these repeated phrases, building an altar in verses 7 and 8, and again a couple of times in verse 13, and repeatedly actually through the remainder of his life. At these altars, he spent time giving thanks to God. Third, Abraham prioritized honoring God. We read that he called on the name of the Lord. Heading out in a new direction must have been challenging, right? Changing what has become familiar undoubtedly presented obstacles and uneasiness, and his resource, his default position, was to call on the name of the Lord. Now, some of you will have a wider understanding, a deeper understanding. You'll say, hey, but didn't he? And you're absolutely right. And so the fourth thing is really important. Abraham wasn't perfect. In fact, you can still read through the rest of this chapter and in other places as you follow his life. And you recognize that when he took matters into his own hands, when he forgot or chose not to give thanks, when he chose not to consult with God or to call on the name of the Lord, when he forgot to bless others and to listen to God's instruction, he suffered failure and loss, and so did the people around him. But in the end, as he learned, Abram was faithful. Faith wasn't just a word. Abram, as he would be called by God, came to develop a deeply held trust in God's instruction and in this path of blessing. He learned not to be influenced by the enticements to shortcut the blessing of God. Instead, we are reminded from the book of Hebrews that his perspective came to be much, much different. And I needed that reminder as I dove into this, and maybe you do as well. Hebrews chapter 11 says this about Abraham. It says, "By faith, Abram, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. So maybe you're here today and you don't hold too high a view of who you are. Maybe like Abram, you view yourself without much worth, as good as dead, is what we read about him. Whether that's a stage of life or a frustration with the circumstances around it, perhaps you have settled for less than what God desires for you to understand. Maybe you come from a cycle or generations of those who have settled for less or failed to pursue the path of blessing. Or maybe it's you who is seeking happiness only to realize that what gives you pleasure today doesn't seem to last very long. And then you become critical of yourself and then others. You're becoming fearful and distrustful of people and the circumstances of the world. In a world of division, of bitterness, of fear, and of waiting, the path of blessing can change your life and every person you come in contact with. Let me invite you today to choose the path of blessing, to choose the life that is found in Jesus Christ. You know, when Moses would gather with the people of Israel before he was to go, he sat them all in front of them, and he said simply this: you get to choose. Choose life, choose blessing and life, or choose curse, disobedience and death. Those are his two choices. We get to remind ourselves that God desires for us to discover more about who he is and to discover more about his love for us and his love for the whole world, even in the mess we find ourselves in, by going down this road of blessing. Let's pray together. Father, as we stand with Abram, as we listen to these words that you spoke to him, this path of blessing that you laid out before him, we recognize that there are parts of that that we neglect, we abandon, we just don't bother with. We've settled for trying to squeeze happiness when you desire so much more than that. And so, Father, would you challenge us to bring us to points of confession where you release blessing in us and then through us to others. And we thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, the seed of Eve, the bright and morning star, the one through whom all the people of all the world, of every nation, of every ethnicity, the one through whom life is possible and blessing is possible. And so would you use us towards that purpose as we move from here in these days to come and in our world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.